Welcome to Capon Rahal, nestled in the beautiful landscapes between England's national parks. As a Bible school, we offer short-term courses aimed at fostering your spiritual growth and living in a community. Our historic manor house has something for everyone. You can enjoy indoor and outdoor adventures, connect with students from around the world, and learn how to deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Search Capon Ray England for more information.
Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas, and this week, the Wall Street Journal ran a feature article about a man that travelers love to hate, but huge numbers fly on his airline every year. Yes, I'm talking about Michael O'Leary of Ryanair, described by the Journal as the F-bomb-dropping airline CEO who is about to earn a 100 million euro plus bonus. Mr. O'Leary is described as famous or infamous for his off-colour jokes, drunken dinners and profanity. He, therefore, is not a man universally loved. Last September, he had a pie tossed in his face by environmental campaigners. But he is successful. Under his leadership, Ryanair has grown from a tiny outfit carrying 200,000 passengers annually to a reported 200 million this year. But he's a man who, shall we say, is unafraid of conflict, clashing even with his own staff. Again, the Journal says that once he described pilots as glorified bus drivers. And speaking about his customers, he recently said, "We're not bothered if they love us or not." Now, I was intrigued by the Wall Street Journal's coverage because on one hand, it celebrated O'Leary's business acumen, but on the other hand, seemed to be questioning his people skills or lack of them and his propensity for bad language and blunt talk. So tonight, let's talk for a while about the way we talk. It was Calvin Coolidge who said, "I have never been hurt by anything I did not say." Mark Twain said, "A closed mouth gathers no foot." Let's talk about talking. Problems have been reported at a wildlife park in Lincolnshire, leading to the removal of five parrots. Eric, Jade, Elsie, Tyson and Billy have all been banished because they've developed an unfortunate habit of swearing at visitors. Chief Executive Steve Nichols told CNN News that this gaggle of foul-mouthed birdies went ballistic with their profanities and insults. "I get called a rude word every time I walk by," Steve lamented. "We were concerned about the children." This story of cussing feathered friends intrigued me, so I did a little research on parrot training. Obviously, parrots are carefully schooled to mimic the sounds that they hear. They need to be relaxed and ready for a training session. Using repetition and reward, the owner repeats the chosen word over and over, offering a treat when the bird successfully parrots it back. The process takes time and patience until at last the dubious result is attained. Hooray! Now you have a domestic pet that can turn the air blue and insult your friends. I confess that I laughed out loud at the five parrots story, but then I started thinking. In casual conversation on social media, many view it as cool to punctuate their sentences or pepper their 140 characters with swear words. A few years ago, in the disgusting playground brawl that was the first television election debate in America, the exchange was charged with name-calling, personal insults, and even a swear word from the president, who, more worryingly, refused to categorically denounce white supremacy. Flip on the flat screen after the watershed, and you'll find that after-hours TV is loaded with the dirtiest talk. And I've noticed that Christians tend to swear more these days, and some use bad language as a badge of freedom, a notion that is surely misguided. Using bad language isn't cool, it's crass. Those who protest, suggesting that swearing is not good practice, risk being dismissed as being sniffy, puritanical legalists. But before I became a follower of Jesus, my conversation was littered with expletives. How refreshing it was to be around people who didn't resort to the laziness that is swearing. In our relationships, we create a culture that's either permissive or exhortative. Watch what happens in a group setting when someone casually drops a swear word or shares an off-color story. Before long, others, prompted by the example of the cursor, join in with the bag language fest. Lemming-like, we mindlessly follow the leader, even if the leader is treading a murky path or even lobbing themselves over a moral cliff. A few days ago, out for a walk, I indulged in my persistent habit of people-watching. Noticing a family with young children sitting together on a park bench, I couldn't help tuning into their conversation as I strolled by. One of the adults sported a T-shirt with three swear words screaming from his chest, and in the 10 seconds that it took me to pass them, okay, 20 seconds, I'm nosy and I was quite intrigued, they collectively used the worst swear words five or six times, and all that with young, tender ears listening. I'm concerned about those children. I know, there are worse things than swearing, but really that's not the point. Scripture tells those of us who would be apprentices of Jesus to let our speech be seasoned with salt and calls us to ensure that what we say is a source of grace to those who hear it. The tongue is tough to tame, says James, the half-brother of Jesus. And bad language is not just about the use of certain rude words. When we gossip, slander, lie, flatter, we bruise and sully other lives. There are some who, because of illness, can't control torrents of swearing, like some who battle Tourette's syndrome. They deserve our sympathy, not condemnation. But for the majority who just blurt out whatever we think, surely some self-control is called for. So, let's think before we open our mouths and resist the urge to be bird-brained. And if we're tempted to dismiss all this talk about talk as unimportant in a world where bigger issues loom, perhaps it's time to think again and evacuate that perch. Straight talk. Okay, so my passport photograph isn't the best. Actually, it's really quite scary. I'm not sure what I was thinking when I popped behind the green curtains in the booth of the now-defunct Woolworths, fed my pound coins in, and then glared like a trainee serial killer into the glass square that housed the camera. Why did I pull that facial expression, one that inmates on death row usually pull before they meet the hooded executioner? Was I battling some angst about my faith or wrestling with the internal consequences of an earlier chicken madras? It was not so much a pose, more a confrontation. I'm not saying that the result is ugly, but if you have problems getting your small children to go to bed at night, call me and I'll just send over the photo. They'll dash under the covers at the speed of light, tearfully thankful to be away from the scary man. There isn't an airbrush powerful enough to turn this little snap into something warm and attractive. I'm expecting approaches from leading plastic surgeons, but not offering treatment. I could serve as a before picture in their glossy ads. But I was unprepared for the reaction that I received at Passport Control in London recently. I was feeling relieved to actually be out of the queue because it seemed like half of the world was trying to get into the UK and only two border control inspectors to manage things. A kindly looking man held out his hand for my passport. Bless him, he had no idea of the horror that his eyes were about to alight upon. When he flipped open my passport and the unsmiling face of a psychopath stared back at him, he was unable to control himself. "My gosh," he exclaimed, visibly shocked. And then there was a terrible moment of embarrassment as he dug an even deeper hole for himself. "And you're so much younger than me, too." Then he realized that he'd just allowed some fairly offensive words to tumble out of his mouth. His look of horror widened. Maybe I was now a mortally offended serial killer, aging badly but good with an axe. Perhaps wisely, he said no more. We often celebrate the virtue of blunt talk and count as worthy the person who calls a spade, which is good because even in post-modernity, a spade isn't a fish. And Jesus was blunt, blunt with the religiously smug as he sought to wake them from the cloying coma that self-righteousness brings. And the Apostle Paul, he was a straight shooter too, advising the Galatians who were bringing circumcision back into fashion to go the whole hog and just castrate themselves. Not exactly a warm, comforting pastoral chat. That was blunt and risky with it. To confront pious legalism means that the challenger always seems like a liberal rather than a freedom fighter. Grace is always most amazing and sometimes incomprehensible to the religious zealot. Sometimes bluntness and thoughtlessness are married, though. Far from being premeditated, there has been no meditation. I'm sure that the lady who strolled up to me after a sermon one day and asked me if I'd ever had a stroke, I think she was innocent. I replied in the negative, silently wondering if she had any interest in surveying the surgical scars that I do have. And then I asked her why she thought that I was a stroke victim. Well, she replied, it's just that when you smile, only one side of your face goes up. I would have smiled back at her generously, but apparently the smile would have been wonky. Now, surely there was no malice in her question. Insensitivity was her only crime. And I decided not to be offended, despite the fact that my own father had suffered a terrible stroke that stole one of his greatest joys, talking, and it ultimately helped to kill him. But she was not to know that. But I fear that arrogance sometimes crouches behind bluntness. So confident are we that the first notion that pops into our head that it must be right, or even, as Christians, we think inspired by God, we share it, uncensored by pause or reflection, and then wonder at the damage it causes. Of course, for some, that's just the point, to damage. They bully, pummel, and jab with words, and when in doubt, they shout louder, victory by bluster and blasts of searing hot air. But there's nothing commendable or clever about being a verbal pit bull. Because we're good with words doesn't mean that we're good. Meanwhile, after my difficult experience with the passport control gentleman, I had arrived at my destination, but then I experienced my second helping of blunt talk for the day, which frankly is quite a lot to talk. An unsmiling Dutch lady wandered up to me. "We tell people straight in Holland," she barked. "If we think you're ugly, we tell you you're ugly." I braced myself. Without wanting in any way to resort to racial stereotypes, some say that our friends, the Dutch, are famous for clogs, gouda, windmills, and also being quite blunt. For a moment, I forgot my experience earlier in the day back at passport control. "Really?" I said, perplexed. "Well, nothing like that's ever happened to me." Quick as a flash, and definitely not pausing for enough time to engage brain, she responded, "So you haven't been to Holland then?" Well, I had been to Holland, I'm sure of it, and of this I'm sure as well. I'd like to think before I speak, especially when it comes to straight talk. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 in the Good News Bible, "Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger, no more shouting or insults, no more hateful feelings of any sort. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another and forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ." Let's think before we speak. Let's be careful about blunt or straight talk. Perhaps you'd like to join me in this prayer that's been adapted from the Psalms. "Lord, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, may my tongue speak of your righteousness and of your praises all day long." I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me. See you next week.
Lucas on Life.